Hi, it's Tracy. Before we start, I have a request. Okay, it's a little weird, maybe even a lot weird, but hello, 6.5 million downloads on my podcast, and still we haven't chosen a sponsor, right? Yeah, they just haven't been good enough for us, and that's a little weird too. So I decided I'm going to treat this like a sponsorship spot. Many of you know Marcus, my son, who's been the inspiration behind this podcast, the book, my programs, anything at all to do with ADHD. Well, he is graduating from NYU this May, and boy, are we happy that he did it in 4 years. So anyway, Marcus loves to travel, and so he's spending 6 weeks by himself traveling to 5 countries in South America. I don't know about you, but there's no way in hell that I would go to even one country alone. And so we gave Marcus a very low budget. This trip is a combination of his birthday and graduation gift, and he figured it all out himself. He speaks some Spanish, but he hired a Spanish tutor from Ecuador a couple weeks ago, months maybe, who's a professor at a university there, and this professor is helping him with his conversational Spanish. Marcus also changed his phone to Spanish only and all of his apps, and he only watches Spanish TV in preparation for this trip. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of what Marcus is like. Now, Marcus would ultimately like to earn a PhD in psychology. He's fascinated by the brain, learning differences, and particularly how dyslexia impacts math. For the near future, though, he wants to work for a couple of years in New York City. I never thought he'd say that. He was always looking for more nature. So anyway, he's going on this trip, and what he's trying to do is find a job that he can come back to. He's come very close, but still no cigar. So yes, I am hawking my son's skills on these airwaves. He thinks I'm insane. But I'm like, who knows what interesting people are out there? I mean, I found my husband in a personal ad when no one was doing that. So why not find a job using my podcast? I mean, ultimately, finding a partner or finding a job, it's all the same thing, right? It's marketing, just getting the word out. Right job, right person. So that's my weird request. If you have any leads in New York City, Marcus would love to work in advertising or marketing sales. He's a phenomenal researcher. I promise you, he can find anything. He's very skilled in Excel and financial modeling. He'd be amazing in digital advertising or tech marketing. And beyond his hard skills, he's resilient. He's so smart. And he has an exceptional work ethic. And that's not just his mother talking. He's not like me. He prefers not to challenge the status quo all the time. He actually likes structure and systems. And he has so many ideas about how to make things better, faster, more efficient, simpler. So I'm putting this out there to our incredible community. If you know of any opportunities in digital advertising, tech marketing, or sales that are in New York City and could benefit from a bright, hardworking, and respectful young professional like my son Marcus, send me an email at support@tracyoutsuka.com and I will connect the two of you. Look, Marcus represents the very essence of what we talk about here every week, right? The brilliance of thinking differently. And so does his mother. So thank you for letting me be weird. And now let's get on with the show.
I think we shame ourselves way too much about the simple things in life, about sleep, about eating, about taking naps, about drinking water, about having air outside, about doing things that work for kids.
Yeah.
And for us, why do you think they work for children? Why do you think they work for babies, right? Like, what makes us so special? Why can't we use them too? Keep it simple. And then you can add all of the cool, sparkly things if it works for you.
Richard Branson, Michael Phelps, Justin Timberlake, James Carville. Wait a minute. Where are the women? Greta Gerwig, Lisa Ling, Audra McDonald, Simone Biles.
That sounds like a list of highly successful titans in a variety of industries. They all have ADHD, but you don't hear much about that now, do you? You know what else you don't hear about? Are the 43% of people with ADHD who are in excellent mental health. Why aren't we talking about them and what they're doing right? I'm your host, Tracy Otsuka, and that's exactly what we do here. I'm a lawyer, not a doctor, a lifelong student, and now the author of my new book, ADHD for Smart-Ass Women. I'm also a certified ADHD coach and the creator of Your ADHD Brain is A-OK, a patented system that helps ADHD women just like you get unstuck and fall in love with their brilliant brains. Here, we embrace our too muchness and we focus on our strengths. My guests and I credit our ADHD for some of our greatest gifts. And to those who still think they're too much, too impulsive, too scattered, too disorganized, I say, no one ever made a difference by being too little.
Hello, hello, hello. I am your host, Tracy Otsuka. Thank you so much for joining me here for ADHD for Smart-Ass Women. Before we start, I just want to remind you that you may find my new book with HarperCollins William Morrow, also called ADHD for Smart-Ass Women, wherever you buy your books. It's a compilation of all of our learnings here on this podcast. If you'd like more information, go to ADHDforSmartWomen.com. So now, on to the podcast. We've had so many tech challenges. It has been laughable, but we're here. So you know that my purpose is always to show you who you are and then inspire you to be it. In the thousands of ADHD women that I've had the privilege of meeting, I've never met a one, not one, that wasn't truly brilliant at something. So of course, that means that I'm just delighted to introduce you to Bruce.
That's my dad's name, actually. That's funny.
From Brooke Schnittman. Bruce, that would be a different one. Brooke Schnittman is an expert in the field of ADHD management and support. She earned her bachelor's in elementary education from Penn State University and her master's degree from NYU, where she specialized in students with disabilities. Brooke is now the founder of Coaching with Brooke, where she and her 8 coaches offer 20 years of expertise. Well, it would be more than that because Brooke's expertise is 20 years in ADHD and executive function coaching. Transforming chaos and frustration into folks' success for thousands is her jam. She's been featured in prominent media outlets, including Forbes, Entrepreneur, Attitude Magazine, CBS, and so on and so on. And now she's written a book that she's going to tell us all about, called Activate Your ADHD Potential. Brooke, welcome. Did I finally get all of that right?
Oh, yeah, girl.
We are going to do this.
We only tried, exactly, 2 ADHD amazing brains trying to do this without our assistance, figuring it out. It's a true test of our patience, but it's so much fun. Here we are.
It is. So where I always start, I don't care who you are, is we want to know about your ADHD diagnosis first. Can you tell us the little story?
Yeah, sure. So it's not your typical ADHD diagnosis in the fact that, like, I knew all about ADHD before I got diagnosed, right? I was a late diagnosed ADHDer. So that, I guess, wow, is more typical for women with ADHD, mm-hmm, as you know, mm-hmm, you too. And it wasn't until like 15 years in of working with people with ADHD that when I started coaching with Brooke in 2018, I went virtual in 2019, and I started specializing personally in adults with ADHD. And that's when I saw myself in them. I didn't see myself in the students that I worked with. I didn't see myself in the adults when I was working in person with them. It was online. I started realizing that I couldn't focus on my sessions and then move to the notes taking part of coaching and then come back to the focus part and go back to the note taking. So that's when it started to click. And then my whole life came in front of me and I was like, oh, wait a second. This makes sense. Why was I working with people with ADHD? Why did I have the interest in studying in it? Why did I start an ADHD coaching company and not know I had ADHD at the time? Oh, because I have it. So in 2019, I was diagnosed and I started medication right away. And the reason why I did that was because I already had a lot of the strategies for working with my brain. Right? I've compensated for so long. I've coached and taught people and I've worked with it. Right? So I was like, what else is left there?
Yeah.
Words aren't coming clear right now.
Nothing. Nothing's coming clear. There's nothing firing, right? Not our heart, not our brain.
Yes, exactly.
You know what? That is, I think that might be the craziest ADHD story I've heard because, you know, I've talked to psychiatrists and, you know, psychologists and therapists who didn't know they had ADHD, but they weren't 100% exclusively focused on ADHD. And what's interesting about your story is it was because you just didn't see yourself in those kids' symptoms.
Correct. Correct. I empathize with them.
Yeah. And that's probably why you were really good at what you were doing.
Maybe.
But it also makes sense that you had such an interest in ADHD, right?
100%.
Because you had ADHD, but you didn't know it.
Correct. When I graduated from undergrad, there was one class on special education in my general education 4 years of teaching and learning about that. So I was like, ooh, this sounds interesting. So that's why I decided to go in students with disabilities master's immediately. And then I was student teaching in a school that specializes in learning disabilities and ADHD. And I continued to just gravitate and I did special education, but it was like more high functioning, right? ADHD, learning disabilities, anxiety. It was always that for so long. And that was my real focus, right? And then, yes, it must have been this subconscious message that said, oh, I need to date men who have ADHD. I need to work with students who have ADHD. Oh, my stepkids are going to have ADHD. My husband's going to have ADHD. And guess what? My two-year-old's going to exhibit symptoms of ADHD. And my best friends are going to have ADHD too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's total. And that's probably why your life has worked so well, right? Because you're around.
Probably.
You're in an environment where there are people just like you.
100%.
And I'm sure they accept you for who you are because you accept them for who they are. I'm curious, how did you do in school?
I came from a family of educators, so you know what happens with that. My dad owned a private school. My mom was a math teacher. So hard work and discipline was just kind of like what I did. And I remember that in math, I wasn't doing well in math, believe it or not, even though it was one of my favorite subjects. Once I was in high school, I know, my mom was like, you have to be in accelerated math. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be in it. And I remember the teacher having a side conversation with me and she's like, are you sure you want to be in honors? Because it was a choice, right? You didn't have to be recommended it where I came from. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, all right. So I did. And then eventually, of course, I didn't do that well. So I went back down to general. But my interest in school was really science, art. I did enjoy math when it came to figuring things out and not having to memorize formulas. My working memory was not good, and it's still not good. And when I was younger, I was diagnosed with an auditory processing disorder.
Oh.
Go figure.
Yeah, right. And so everything was because of auditory processing then,
everything,
right?
Everything, right? Yeah. No, there was no such thing as ADHD. So I wasn't like a B student, I would say, a B student. But my parents didn't really expose me to, for right or wrong, the differences in my brain. It was always like, okay, she's going to get the extra help outside of school and she's going to be pushed and be in these classes. And, you know, there were some benefits of that because I always thought that I could do better than what maybe they were told I could do.
Right.
And I pushed myself and I think I was successful. I worked hard. But there were also times where I worked all the time, right? I defined myself around workaholism and I didn't know why. And now I do. So my childhood was different. School was okay as far as grades, but I was bullied like from age 9 to, believe it or not, age 35 until I received coaching.
Okay, talk about that.
Yeah. So I was going to private school at my dad's private school. So I think that before then, I kind of just was able to like come up to the teacher and ask questions. And, you know, it was very different. It was a small ratio of students to teachers. I wasn't really taught how to be a student in a public school. So I go to public school and I'm walking up to the teacher's desk instead of raising my hand. And is that because of the private school or is it because I had undiagnosed ADHD? I don't know. Maybe it was a mix of both. But then my teacher immediately started to not like me. And it's a fact. Oh. It wasn't a perception. And also my friends from camp who, you know, were my neighborhood friends, the reason why I wanted to go to public school, were not nice to me. So all of this kind of just snowballed and then it defined who I was, how I acted, and it just continued to occur for me. And then, you know, I had those negative trauma responses every time I was rejected. And there were like real rejections. And I know this is not the purpose of the podcast, but I had a very hard social situation growing up. And I think I defined myself as, you know, just not a victim, but as someone who could be bullied, right? And it would almost be expected.
You know, I find that so hard to believe because you come across as so strong and confident. And I mean, you were saying up until 35, this was still going on. So what was going on? Do you know now what was going on with you in that period of time that would allow that to have happened?
Yeah, there
are
were some.
I'm curious. Sorry. I'm curious if you exhibit more masculine tendencies versus female tendencies where you're more reserved, you'll kind of try to fit in versus are you more just like you just say what you think, you just do what you think, and that was not liked?
It's very possible. I definitely have a lot of masculine tendencies. I don't know if I always had them, but I've coped that way. And yeah, I'm not a girly girl. I love to dress up. I love to, you know, put on makeup. I love to have jewelry, but I don't have that feminine, that femininity, I don't think very much. So perhaps that was it. Like maybe I was trying to fit in to a world that I don't know. I don't know. It's a really good question.
So at 35, what happened then? Like, what did you learn that has changed everything? Or is it just that you have learned, screw that fitting in. I'm not even going to try. I am meant to stand out. And if you don't like me, you're my wrong environment.
Correct. So I came from New York and then I moved to Florida at age 34. I left a toxic boss. I left a toxic school system. And I decided I want to start my own career in my own job. And I had no idea. I thought it would be like consulting or advocacy or something, but I didn't know what. And then someone I met in Florida said, okay, because I ended up repeating the same patterns. Of course, I went to a school. I did the same thing in Florida with a toxic boss, blah, 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 blah. Someone I met was like, you need to join X. And I don't feel like putting the name out there because I don't necessarily recommend it to everyone, but it did wonders for me. It was a coaching program. And I didn't know it was coaching. He's like, but this changed my life. You should try it. It's like, okay. So I did. I had no idea what I was doing. And then I kept doing it for a year. And that was when I learned my strengths, my weaknesses, my motivation to do things. I was actually able to execute things in a linear fashion with due dates and milestones along the way, like big, scary things. And that's when I started feeling confident in like that group setting with coaching. And halfway
Tony Robinson?
No, it's not Tony Robbins.
I mean, Tony Robinson.
It's one of those days.
You have to tell us what it is.
It's not Anthony Robbins.
Who is it? What is it?
It's Landmark.
Oh, okay. And so what do you think about them now?
I think if you are there to truly absorb all the information and get out of your comfort zone, it's amazing. I do. And it's affordable. And they have very big groups. I just don't like their sales system. That's why I said I usually don't mention them because they have a they call a lot and they reach out a lot and they ask their students to market for them. So that just turned me off. But the actual content that I learned, if you can separate the two, was fantastic. It was like a Tony Robbins as far as the content goes. And yeah, I honestly believe that when you see yourself struggling and you see other people are also struggling with the same things you are, whether it's ADHD or not, right?
Yeah.
You're going to finally be like, oh, wow, I'm not alone, right? And you do groups, I do groups. Like, that is so powerful. So that was when I got out of my own skin and said, I'm not going to take the toxic boss anymore. I'm quitting my job. I'm going to be an ADHD coach. I don't know why I'm going to be an ADHD coach, but I'm going to be, and I'm going to get all my certifications, and then I'm going to become a coach, and I'm going to start my company overnight, which I did. And then I'm going to learn 6 months later that I have ADHD. That was my journey. That's why I stopped getting bullied.
That's why you stopped getting, because you stopped allowing yourself to get bullied, right? You realized I'm capable.
Exactly. I felt confident for the first time. I made my own choices. I not only before that decided to leave a situation that wasn't good for me, but I also then surrounded myself with people that were good for me. And it was a transition. It took time. There's still, you know, remnants of the past that I try to set boundaries on. But yes, my whole world changed as far as what I was attracted to and what I was willing to allow into my circle of trust.
Well, and there's also something about, you know, the cobbler's kids without shoes, right? You don't want to be that. And so I always, like, if I'm not sleeping, like I haven't for the last couple months because of this book, I really feel like guilty because I'm talking about, you just did an attitude webinar and you were talking all about the benefits of sleep and then you're not sleeping. What a friggin' hypocrite you are. So I might fall off the wagon, but it totally gets me back on, right? Versus before.
Absolutely.
I would have been like, sleep, what do they know? But you know, once you study it, you realize, oh, they actually did know something. We need to sleep. So I am curious, what changed once you were diagnosed? Was it really helpful for you to get diagnosed? And it sounds like you actually went in there and said, by then, I have ADHD. Like you had figured it out, right? And that's why you wanted to get diagnosed, to confirm that.
Yeah. So the medication definitely helped me be able to do my notes, come back to a task. So the shifting attention executive function helps with the medication. So that's changed, but it's not the be all end all. I think within the last 5 years of having this diagnosis, I'm constantly learning more about my ADHD because my circumstances have changed. I got married. I got stepsons. I have a 2-year-old. So I'm being tested constantly with my ADHD in situations that I've never, you know, seen before. So my executive functions are being put into new situations. So I am seeing ADHD manifest in new variations. So yeah, with a 2-year-old, you're not sleeping as well as you would like. Is there anything you can really do about that? Not much, right? When you have 3 children, all with different schedules, and they're on travel soccer, and then you have a husband who also has ADHD, you're managing a lot, right? So there's just all these new circumstances. So I'm learning, the short of the long, is that my ADHD is forever changing, and I just need to adapt with it and remember my strengths and remember what motivates me and my passions and my boundaries. And you said, okay, you didn't sleep for the last few weeks because of your book. I get it. Like, but you have those tools that are so foundational that you know the importance of the why behind it, and you go back to it. This morning, and I don't mean to rant, but this morning, here I go. This morning, I felt so off. And I'm like, okay, let me think about this. What am I not attending to? And I talk about this in the book, right? Am I sleeping well? Am I eating well? Am I drinking well? Am I letting things kind of just like slip through where I used to set boundaries? And what I realized is that I'm adding all these new things to my business life and also situationally to my personal life, right? My stepson's going through a hard time in school, and things are shifting, and I'm not attending to the boundaries that I set in my schedule. And of course, you can't always attend to it 100%, but I am now saying no. I'm looking at my schedule and I'm like, okay, what's my ideal schedule? What are my start times, my end times? How much time do I want to spend with a one-on-one client? How much time do I want to spend in helping the larger population? How much time do I want to spend helping my coaches? How much time do I want to spend here? And let's look at that again. And now I feel better. I feel more in control just by mapping it out and having a plan.
Getting it out of your head where it's just spinning. I totally get what you're saying. You're not letting it control you. You are still in control, with an understanding that, hey, sometimes this just happens, given all of these new things that are in your life that you're having to learn how to juggle all at the same time.
Correct. And we're humans, right? And we are going to have a system that works for us, and then it's going to stop working for us because we're going to forget about certain things, right? You go on vacation, you have this thing that happens in your life, you know, grief or trauma, whatever, circumstances, and everything just gets thrown out the door, but you come back to what works for you once you're back in the headspace that you need to be in.
Yeah. It doesn't become this, God, what would the word be? Just this domino of something bad happens and then all the chaos that erupts from that. And then you can't get back to anywhere, you know, where you were before, because ultimately you didn't have control over where you were in the first place, right? It just happened.
Correct.
That everything kind of was working well then. I love that. Okay. So let's talk about the book.
Okay.
What made you write it?
Well, it was on my bucket list.
And
there were so many people who needed yours and my help, and honestly couldn't afford the services.
Yeah.
And they were on my social media page and they're like, put this in a book. Like, do you have actionable steps? Or like, I want to join your 3C activation group, but I can't afford it. I'm like, okay, it's time. So finally, in January of 2023, wasn't that long ago, I said, I am putting a goal together that I am going to have a book out in 3 days.
Wait, what? I mean, I'm already doing the calculation. Wait, her book came out in October and she started in January. I hate her.
I hate you so much right now. And that's why I didn't go with a publisher.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I tricked my brain. I'm like, okay, I am going to, because I was thinking about doing a book for a very long time, but I was like, I need to do this. People need this. So I tricked my brain. I went on YouTube University and I was like, okay, How do you write a book? Go.
It's me again, Tracy. You know how people often assume that if you have ADHD, you're just lazy, unmotivated, and not living up to your full potential? Well, I'm here to tell you they've got it all wrong, except for the part about not reaching your full potential. But that's only because you haven't found the right strategies tailored for your unique ADHD brain. And that's exactly why I wrote ADHD for Smartass Women. This book, it's designed to help you understand the different approaches that work for your distinct brain, inspiring you to become the best version of yourself right now. You can grab a copy wherever books are sold. And if you've already read my book, please take a moment to leave a review on Amazon and Goodreads. Your feedback, it not only supports me and my publisher, but it also helps other smart-ass women and their kids, friends, and colleagues find the strategies they need to thrive. Every review makes a huge difference. So go write a review now or buy the book now before you forget. Okay, back to our usual programming. It's that challenge.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, of course, like the things that popped up were like, oh, write a book in 3 days with AI, Jasper, ChatGPT. I was like, okay, I'm going to believe this. So I got started, right? And then after 3 days, I knew. I'm like, this is not how my book is going to work, right? And I am going to, but at least I got it started. At least I initiated and had that activation, which was so challenging because I was so attached to the outcome. So I started writing the book and then I was like, I'm just going to go to 10,000 words. So I went on Google and I said, okay, how do I publish my book without a publisher? What do I need to do? What are the steps? So I found this thing called Readsy, R-E-E-D-S-Y. And then there was editors and proofreaders and whatever. So they were like, okay, you know, so I started with that. And I said, no, 10,000 isn't enough. So then I, of course, went through a whole month where I stopped writing because I was too attached again. And then I came back to it in April. And I said, I haven't even touched my 3C activation process in it. I was talking about the ADHD disruption cycle of overwhelm, underwhelm that we constantly are in as ADHDers. Sometimes multiple times a day, I came up with 10 steps that happen with this disruption cycle. Overwhelm, burnout, then you wait a long period of time, but then you get bored and underwhelmed. Then you come up with a new and exciting idea, and then you get hyper-focused. And then from the hyper-focus, you burn out again. And then from there, you have RSD, and then you compare yourself to others, and you feel failure. So it's just this never-ending spiral, and sometimes you're underwhelmed and overwhelmed at the same time. So how do you get out of that, right? How do you get out of it, and how do you avoid the spiral as well? So that was my process. I said, okay, of course, I know the tools. Let me apply them to the book. So I took my 12-step process, 3C activation, which after reading your book, Tracy, we have very similar values and ideas on how to live fully with ADHD for adults. And so the 12 steps is gaining control of the chaos of your ADHD brain for the first 4 steps. The next 4 steps is now that you have the space to have some control of your day and you've attended to your needs and you've learned your strengths and your values and your motivations and you've evaluated all the areas of your life. Now let's talk about time management strategies because you actually have the time to do that and the space to do that. So let's take a look at your schedule, your prioritization, your time blindness, what's stopping you. Then we stretch the goals. We have the uncomfortable conversations we've been avoiding for so long, right? That have been weighing on us, but now we feel more confident so we can actually have those conversations to get out of our own way and be able to produce more and be more authentically ourselves. How do you delegate? How do you stretch your goals to another extent by using mind maps and map out your next 12 weeks? So in there, there's strategies of dopamine mining and there's strategies of attending to your hierarchy of needs, but it's guided worksheets in the book because it's a workbook book. And the goal is by the end of those 12 steps, then you'll go from chaos to confidence. And it really is the reader's journey. So you can do it in 12 weeks. You could do it in 12 days. You could do it in 12 years. There's no judgment. Let's hope you don't do it in 12 years. But yeah. And then there's a bunch of free tools that come along with it on the website. So lots of downloadables, body doubling group that you can be a part of, because accountability we know is so huge going through these steps as well.
So you talked about underwhelm and overwhelm and how we can experience both at the same time. But then you also talked about just avoiding that spiral altogether. How do you do that?
Okay, good question. I honestly feel that in order to make a change in your life, something had to happen, right? So if you're coming to read this book or your book, you're likely impacted by your ADHD or your spouse's ADHD or, you know, your best friend's ADHD, right? So something had to happen where you already are overwhelmed and underwhelmed. Okay. So I think by going through these 12 steps, which is similar to what we were talking about before, once you have the tools and foundations and you see how successful you are with it and you feel so much more in control of your life, that's how you avoid it happening again. So using the framework and mapping out your non-negotiables and really attending to your needs and being in control of your day by making sure that your time is based on you and not allowing other people to control your time.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And that totally. It's attending to your values, your needs, your intention. Strengths, that intention there, that's how you avoid the overwhelm and the underwhelm moving forward.
So if you are underwhelmed, and by underwhelmed, I'm assuming we're talking, you're just bored. You could care less about that thing, but that thing needs to get done. What are the tools in your toolkit? You talk about, you know, you've got your toolkit that you feel help you the most in situations like that to like move that thing forward, even though honestly, it's not really your intention, but you know, your partner would be really happy or your child would be really happy. And that means something to you. So there is intention, but it's not your, you know,
intrinsic intention
we're interested in doing. Yeah.
Correct. So I'm glad that you made that distinction because you know that eventually you're going to not be bored anymore. It's going to happen where you come up with that new exciting idea and you're going to do something that intrinsically motivates you at the time.
Yeah.
But extrinsic is harder. So the tools in the book that help with that is piggybacking something on the thing that isn't intrinsically motivating to you. So either on the front end or the back end, doing something that does motivate you, having those rewards, figuring out how to monitor your dopamine levels, because even if it's not something that's exciting to you, you're still more likely to do it if you have more of a baseline of dopamine or a higher level of dopamine. So doing something like working out, doing something like listening to music, something like something healthy, right? Creating your dopamine menu for doing something that gives you that neurotransmitter that's going to help you actually do the thing. Having accountability, having the intention before you go to sleep to do the thing, having the reward after it, breaking it down into small steps, time blocking it, having a timer, you know, making sure that you're fed first. And what I mean is like you actually eat, you are drinking water, that you're going outside, getting your energy levels up to a point where it's a little bit easier to do the thing. You can also do two things at the same time. You can have a secondary focus while you're trying to do the thing that you aren't as interested in. You can also delegate the thing. So lots of different things, but just like, don't be so attached to the results and make it more simple for yourself and for the people around you.
Hi, this is Tracy. I wanted to let you know about a free program that I'm running in April called 3 Days to Fall in Love with Your ADHD Brain.
Look, if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know that I do not believe in pathologizing neurodiversity. And I certainly don't believe that the ADHD brain is disordered. I believe that it's just a different brain that requires its own user's manual to be happy and successful. I always say that we're Macs in a Windows-driven world. After all, why should we pathologize brilliant brains who have non-linear creative ways of thinking, processing, and learning? Look, in just 3 days, I'm going to show you how to fall in love with your ADHD brain. Together, we're going to learn how our ADHD brains work, why ADHD shows up differently in women. We're going to replace shame with pride and create our own ADHD user's manual so you can work with your brain instead of against it. I'm also going to show you how to make better, more confident decisions and stop that ruminating brain in its tracks. Finally, together, we're going to talk about how to answer that, "What do I do with my life?" question. Let me share with you one of the comments that a former 3 Days to Fall in Love with Your ADHD Brain student shared with me. "Tracy, I am so impressed and amazed by the depth of the content you shared with all of us for no charge. This has been a truly meaningful, helpful, and hope-giving gift. I think I could spend many months working through all of the tips, information, and resources you've provided us for learning to understand and love our ADHD brains. The love and support that the women in this group have provided is mind-boggling, but it's also a reflection of who you are. I can't thank you enough." Well, thank you. And remember, it's all entirely free, so no cost to you at all. The free training will be live and start in April, and we're going to meet every day at 10 a.m. Pacific time. There will also be a Facebook group with women just like you to build community with. If this sounds like something that might benefit you, you may sign up at spyhappy.me/3 days. That's spyhappy.me/3 days. And just as an aside, if you can't make that time, know that there will be replays. So I really hope to see you there. Okay, so you talked about a dopamine menu that's healthy to kind of, I guess, kickstart that dopamine to get you going. Give us some examples beyond exercise, which totally works for me, that are healthy, that actually serve you.
Sure. Eating every 3 to 4 hours, having chocolate, having, that's healthy and it serves me, okay? Don't judge.
Oh, dark chocolate, right? Antioxidant.
Dark chocolate, exactly. Exactly. Proteins, fats, the proper supplements. If you're on medication, take the medication. If you like cold showers, I mean, we know that that increases our dopamine tremendously. Yeah. Listening to music, doing it with someone, making a phone call to a friend that makes you laugh, that you're excited about. The things that you're excited about is going to help lift up your dopamine. So plan a small reward ahead of time of doing that thing. So, you know, set a timer and say, okay, when I'm done with this, I am going to be able to eat that thing or, you know, have a bath or, you know, give my husband a hug or go and take that 10-minute walk. Maybe even have a picture of the visual of the thing that you're going to be doing afterwards. So you're actually excited to be finished, set that timer. At nighttime, you can plan a trip. You can watch something funny. You can, oh my gosh, there's just so many things. In the morning, you could have your coffee. You could have your stimulants. So, and then I'm, of course, leaving out sex. But that helps too. If you're excited about it.
Well, and isn't that so interesting with ADHD? Either it's hyposexuality or it's hypersexuality, right? Like there's nothing in the middle because it really depends on if you are interested or if you're not. Like I always make the joke that I'm basically a woman trapped. No, wait, is it? I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. And so when all my friends are saying, oh, they're poor husbands, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? You
know? Your husband's probably really happy.
Or not, because they can be different too, right? It just depends on
on, you know, the compliment, but you're absolutely right. And that makes me laugh because, again, it is such an indicator of interest.
It is. Even the exercise piece. I didn't realize that if you're not interested in your exercise until I listened to the Andrew Huberman podcast.
Oh, I love that him.
That you're not, oh, love him, right? Mm-hmm. He's great. If you aren't interested in the exercise that you're doing, you're not going to get the same levels of dopamine. Like, duh. So why are we forcing ourselves to do exercise that we don't like? Like, what is that actually doing for us? So why don't we make it interesting, even if it's 10 minutes, right? Like, if dancing is interesting to you, go do it for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Who cares? Make it interesting. Something you're excited about.
Yeah. And stop calling it exercise. I mean, now when I say yes, the word exercise, I want to pull at that. Because there's such a negative connotation for so many people around that word,
mm-hmm,
versus move your body so you feel good, right?
Oh my gosh,
do that,
yes.
What you were saying, 10-minute thing. And okay, ask yourself, I'm out in nature. I just walked a couple laps, 10 minutes. Do I feel better than before I walk?
Oh my gosh, yes. You know, Seinfeld.
Yeah. You remind me of Elaine now that you think.
Do I?
Yes.
Maybe Elaine. That's why my husband's so attracted to her. But literally, yes. I was doing like the jerky movements the other day, you know, like the Elaine dance. And that brought me so much dopamine and released so much stress. I was like, oh my God, I love this. I got to do it more.
It is so hilarious. You do. You have, and this is the biggest compliment. You have her big mouth. So just full of teeth and. That's hilarious. I would not have thought about that.
The distinction is I have a physically big mouth. I don't have a big mouth anymore, yeah, friends.
Exactly. Exactly. Although they say that about women all the time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And now
exactly.
They realize
and
that.
Believe it or not, I have curly hair, but that is has not been seen for 15 years. So.
Oh, you should go with that. You should go with that.
I tried to go with that and tried some other things. And I was like, well, age is like, it's happening. So... yeah, I'm just going to stay with the straight hair for now. And the dye.
I don't know anything about... Actually, I know something about curly hair because my daughter is really has curly hair. But my hair is so straight that like it doesn't matter what product I put in it, what I do with it, you know. And so
you're
I
not
always
getting
wanted
perm.
Curly hair.
No.
I used to have... Remember when perms were popular? I had one.
I mean, it'd be nice if it came back in because then I could go natural again. But I do. Straight hair is so much easier, especially
really?
With ADHD. Oh, my gosh. You know, I didn't realize for me, it really is an ADHD thing. It's not just I think I look better with straight hair. When you have curly hair and for all the curly hair people listening right now, like you have to shower. You have to put all the products into your hair. And it has to be in the morning because if you do it at night, what happens is, of course, you lay on it or you put it up and then you have a ridge in your hair and it's like half straight, half curly. And then you have to do the whole thing again. We know how hard it is to take showers sometimes with ADHD and hygiene. And literally with straight hair, I just wake up. Doesn't matter when I shower. My hair is always straight. I can put a comb through it and it looks fantastic the next day because it's chemically straightened with curly hair. I had to shower every single morning.
That is so interesting because when I look at my daughter, I can't imagine anything simpler, but she sleeps on a silk pillowcase. You're right. She's got all of these products, but then once it's done, it's literally can be done. Like I have to wash my hair at least every other day. She can literally go for 4 or 5 days. And she just sprays the stuff and goes like this, and it's all scrunched and perfect. So
hey,
I guess
maybe I was doing it wrong.
Or maybe your hair's not really curly, too. Maybe it's just wavy.
It's wavy curl. We'll go with that.
Ah, well, I'm always trying
we'll
to,
go with
you
that.
Know, hair bigger, yeah. And then everybody else is. We always want what we don't have. How about that?
Always. The grass is always greener. Even if you have the best tools, you've read Tracy's book, you've read my book, you're super confident. There's still a little bit of green grass there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so what is one common misconception about ADHD and the ADHD brain that you aim to debunk by writing this book?
Yeah, so I want to pick a good one, of course.
Okay, so think about
it. That you can't be successful. That and not just successful, but like intrinsically successful. Like, sometimes people get lucky Of course, it happens, and that's extrinsic, but that it's you that did the work to become successful. And that can mean whatever you want it to mean. It could be successful in being a great mom, being a great wife, a great husband, a great partner, being great at your job, making millions of impact to millions of people out there, right? Or just internally feeling full. We can feel good about ourselves. We can feel successful. And it's so sad when, I'm sure you feel it too, right? When you hear people's stories about how they thought there was no hope for them. And then they took your program or they read your book or whatever. And then they came out on the other side and they're like, whoa, it's a whole new world out there. You can be successful. Just find your people. Listen to your intuition, because we usually have really good intuition. We just don't listen to it. And just take one foot forward when things are chaotic and do the work with someone you trust, and you will be successful in whichever way, shape, or form that is. And it doesn't mean that you have to be a millionaire. It doesn't mean that you have to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. You define what successful looks like, and you can become that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. So what is it about you and your ADHD that makes you good at what you do?
You didn't give me these questions ahead of time, Tracy.
Well, if Grace would have been involved, you would have had them.
Ooh. Okay, so...
Okay, I should say that Grace, while you're thinking... Grace is my podcast producer.
Correct. It's not actual Grace.
No. And she is the one who coordinates all these interviews, sends out the notes, you know, gets the bio. And Brooke and I decided that we were going to do this just among ourselves. And it has literally been a shit show. We've decided we can't function without help when
our
it comes assistants. To this kind of administrative detail. Yeah.
Yes. And we'll admit it, right? Like lean into our weaknesses. And there you go.
Yeah.
So
what makes at anything related to scheduling, period.
Yeah. I suck at things related to scheduling when there's too many details going back and forth. If I can rely on my own scheduling, right, and no one else is involved, I'm great at it. But okay, what helps me in being a great ADHD coach and helping people with ADHD with my own ADHD, I think is persistence and belief. I'm persistent in believing that people can do way more than they think they can, and they can activate their ADHD potential legitimately. Like, I know it's possible. And usually they're already doing it in some way, shape, or form, but they're just not recognizing it. So like leaning into what is working and enhancing that in a way that they've never felt before. So I think the persistence of believing in myself and believing in others.
And I suspect that you've also seen so many people through your coaching and your team's coaching that have changed their lives. And so when you see it over and over again, you're just so confident. Well, they all did it. This person can do it.
You can do it too. 100%. And I'm also, and this can be perceived as negative, but I am never satisfied, right, with, you know, like the status quo. I'm just not.
Yes.
Right. So in some way, shape, or form, I always have to be learning. I always have to be expanding. I always have to be researching. And, you know, it helps because it motivates me. It drives me to learn more. All the updated ADHD research and all like these tools, tips, whatever, the neuroscience behind it. And then I either apply it on myself or I help other people. So that helps me too, to just not stay stagnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do you see this? These books right here?
The library of books.
Those books, I have a whole, like, they're even in the garage, but those books right there are just since January. And they came about because I was on a list with other books from HarperCollins. And not just that, but most of them. And I started, you know, seeing, okay, how are they doing? And then I started reading about them. And then, of course, I ordered them. So I'm like, oh my gosh, that is just from January. That's the list I have to get through. And then there were some other ones where, you know, my kids would mention them, or this book here. I was telling you about, I don't know when it was written, but he was in a sociology class, Black Reconstruction in America.
That looks like a big book.
Oh my God. But he was like, this just changed everything for me. I'm like, okay. And look at the writing.
Oh my gosh,
it's like
no.
So non-ADHD. So there's a couple books like that in there too, but most of them have to do with productivity or ADHD or something like that. And so I completely get that. Okay, last question. What is your number one ADHD workaround? When you are trying to do X and you're just kind of stuck, what is it that really helps you, that you always kind of lean on?
I step away. Whenever I notice that I am getting frustrated and I'm stuck, I literally take a moment. I attend to my needs again. I go back to the hierarchy of needs. I put it down. I walk away and I make sure that I come back to it with a fresh head. And then from there, I love mind mapping. It helps me so much. I've created my whole business year after year on mind mapping.
Really? So which mind mapping app do you use?
I don't. I keep it simple.
You write it yourself.
See all of my, this is just 2024, but like I have, yes, circles upon circles upon circles and then graph. Yeah.
Okay. So you're, and it's, you know, we're so like that though, right? Where it's the colored pencils and
the tactile. And
I do that, but I don't know why, probably because, you know, I'm like, go big or go home. I have these, I put them in the closet, but I have these giant post-it notes. It's like the size of, you know, half of this bookshelf. Mm-hmm. And then I throw that on with a Sharpie.
This is video, right?
Wait. Okay. So here's my...
She's running over to go get her giant calendar.
Big-ass calendar. With nothing on it.
Yeah. I'm exactly like that.
I keep it simple. Keep it simple. I do what works. I've literally, this is just like a classic planner. It's a passion planner. I've used it for 5 years straight.
And before, you never used a planner, or you'd start one, use it for 2 weeks. And did you struggle with that or no? Have you always been good with the planner?
No, I didn't use a planner before. I had so much structure in my life before that, right? I was a teacher. And I would come to school early. I would leave with the custodians. And then I had no other life. So, like, what was I planning?
There was no planning because you could just do it, right?
Correct. I was on autopilot. It was like Groundhog's Day every day. Like, I did the same thing, right? The only planning was the planning that I had to do as a teacher with my lessons. There was no other planning involved. I had planning burnout as far as my own life. So there was no planning involved.
That's really interesting, though. I have not thought about, because like you, I don't know what happens when there's a bunch of words, I get lost in them, versus if I can separate them out and draw with it and put arrows, then.
Oh, yeah. You're a visual person, right?
I'm totally visual.
Tactile. Yes.
Yeah.
I love how you said, what app do you use, right? Because I know the apps are amazing for people with ADHD, but I don't like apps. They don't work for
me. Okay, there is one. There's one. They're not intuitive. And I'm so with you. People are always reaching out. Can you test this app? I'm like, no, because I hate being stuck on that phone, right? But there is one mind map app, the only one that to me is intuitive. And of course, I don't use it enough, so now I can't think of what it is. Oh, my God.
Is it like X, mind X, something?
No, it's something mind map. Most of them, I would get in there, and I couldn't even figure out how to make it work. You know what? I'll put it in the show notes. I need to find it.
I love it so much. I don't even know the name of it, and I haven't used it in a few weeks, my friends. But I want to recommend it.
You're right. I don't. I use the big, giant post-it note.
I think we shame ourselves way too much about the simple things in life, about sleep, about eating, about taking naps, about drinking water, about having air outside, about doing things that work for kids.
Yeah.
And for us, why do you think they work for children? Why do you think they work for babies, right? Like, what makes us so special? Why can't we use them too? Keep it simple. And then you can add all of the cool apps and the sparkly things if it works for you.
Right. And that's that really, because there are people where the apps do work for. You just need to figure out, right, what works for you.
Correct.
Okay, Brooke, where can people find you if they want to know more about you? They want to buy your book. We're going to put it in the show notes. So tell us all the things that we need to know.
Coaching with Brooke with an E. Thank you. You're great, Vanna. I heard they need a new one. No. Coaching with Brooke with an E everywhere. So Instagram is our big platform, coachingwithbrooke.com. You can find our book on Amazon, Activate Your ADHD Potential. But pretty much even the book is on our website, Coaching with Brooke.
Okay. Thank you. And what we're going to do is we're also going to get it in the show notes, because I just realized I'm looking at the resources section and there are no resources because I did this. So before you leave, let's get all the resources so we can have them in the show notes.
Absolutely.
So Brooke, thank you so much for finally making this work and sticking with me here.
Thank you. I know we didn't do what worked for our brain, but that's resilience right there. That ADHD brain making it happen with or without assistance. We did it.
And we laughed. And that's why we were able to do it, right?
We had fun. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. So that's what I have for you for this week. If you liked this episode with Brooke, please let us know by leaving a review. Our goal is to change the conversation around ADHD, helping as many women as we possibly can learn how their ADHD brains work so that they too may discover their amazing strengths. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you here next week. Don't forget, order Brooke's book and also order my Brooke, ADHDforsmartwomen.com. Thank you. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the ADHD for Smartass Women podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Otsuka. Join us at ADHDforsmartwomen.com, where you can find more information on my new book, ADHD for Smartass Women, and my patented Your ADHD Brain is A-OK system to help you get unstuck and fall in love with your brilliant brain. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you here next week. And don't forget to sign up for our free live virtual training, 3 days to fall in love with your ADHD brain, starting on April 15th at spyhappy.me/3days. I'm telling you, it's life-changing.